You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, Episode 4 with Donnie Rivers. Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey guys, I am excited to share today's episode with Donnie Rivers. We dive into how food allergies have really impacted her life, especially her four kids, how she realized cradle cap, eczema, reflux, and even her seasonal allergies were all tied to food. We talk about how this has sparked a passion for her to start her journey to become a naturopath and how she wants to help other families. We will touch base on how they eat and how her husband accidentally lost 20 pounds by changing to this way of eating and how they are doing today. Let's go to the show. Donnie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm glad that I could have you on the show today and just catch up with you. And how I like to start the show is with an icebreaker. So I love to travel and I love to take vacations. So my question is, what is your favorite vacation spot that you really loved and why, with or without kids?
Okay. Well, we have not taken a lot of vacations because we've had children every couple years for the last 8 years.
That makes a difference.
but my favorite memorable vacation would have to be Colorado. I spent a week just traveling all through the different towns and the mountains, and that was probably one of my favorite vacation spots.
And did you go with the kids, or were you just by yourself, or with you and Casey?
This was before Casey was ever, this was when I was a teenager.
What did you love about it?
Just seeing God's creation. And obviously it was in August, so it would be the cooler weather.
Yes.
Because we're here in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, 90
super hot. Yeah, same here.
Plus degrees. It's miserable. Super hot.
Yes.
And humid. So yes. This summer has been incredibly humid and I'm ready for fall.
I hear you. Which fall, you know, here, just, I think Texas might be a little bit hotter longer, but in October, if you go to Pumpkin Fest or any of those kind of things, you could be sweating. You just really never know.
So no, last year, we wore shorts on Christmas.
Oh my God.
Because
goodness.
It was so warm.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pretty mild winter anyway. But really, it was colder, I think, the week of Thanksgiving than it was the week of Christmas. It was just, it was pretty,
pretty warm. But you grew up in Texas, right? So are you used to that?
Yeah, we're pretty used to it. But when we lived, you know, when you live in Tennessee for 7 years, you get a little bit spoiled.
Yes.
And I always said I didn't want to move back home because of the four seasons, the people, everything was so great in Tennessee. But after the third child and all the grandparents are here, we just realized this was the best move.
Yes. It's hard. It's hard to be living in a place that you don't have your family or grandparents to come in and help out. And as you know, most of us that knew each other from our small group, that we didn't have family around. So I totally get it. And it's great that you guys were able to move back and that it worked for you. But I can see how you would just miss the Nashville area in general, just because I think it's a great place to raise kids.
It is. And, you know, we started our married life there. We started our kid journey there and we had all of our friends. And so it's kind of like starting over when we came back. But we love it. We love Texas. Always will.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited that you can be near your family and that it all worked out, even though it's hard to leave all your friends and stuff like that. But let's get into the show. Let's quickly go over who you are, which we kind of just did a little bit, but how you got to the place that you are today.
Okay. Well, I'm Donnie Rivers, for those that did not catch the last name, so I don't think we said it. I stay home with our four small children. They are 8, 6, almost 4, and 15 months. I have 2 boys, 2 girls. And my husband is a singer. He travels a lot in the Southern gospel industry. And how we got to the place that we are at, well, what we're talking about today is food allergies and intolerances, and then my journey to naturopathy. And it started out with our first kid, our first daughter. She had colicky symptoms, but it wasn't until she was closer to 4 months. And so that's typically not when colic happens. It's usually earlier than that. And the pediatrician, he didn't really know what we were dealing with. And so I would actually take videos of her screaming in pain. She would arch her back and just scream for hours and hours because she could not have a bowel movement. She just hurt so badly.
Yeah.
And his only remedy was give her milk of magnesia twice a day and a little bit of apple juice to help. And it worked, but it still didn't take her pain away. It just, I mean, she still had the pain, but it actually, it just kind of helped her move things along,
yes,
so to
the
speak.
Symptoms.
Yeah. And so we had to do that every day until, gosh, she was a little over one when we finally were able to stop.
Wow.
And, so that's kind of where it started, but I know we're going to talk a little bit more and a little bit more in depth. So I just kind of wanted to get that little overview.
Yeah, definitely. So were you surprised that your kids have intolerances? Because I feel like you ate really good when you were pregnant. And then after you're pregnant with your other kids, like in between your kids, I'm just saying that when you weren't pregnant, I feel like you were eating really well. And are you just surprised that your kids would have so many intolerances versus, say, other families that really just don't pay attention to what they're eating? Or what have you found with that, like, correlation?
Yeah, I was surprised. And then there was a part of me that wasn't. I have always had some sort of stomach issue or and then twice a year I get bronchitis.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would have to be on inhalers and steroids and sometimes antibiotics, and come to find out it actually was allergy induced. So it would be peak cedar fever season. And then in the springtime when the pollens would hit or whatever that allergy was, and, it would happen. I would lose my voice. I would get sick. And for about 7 to 8 weeks, I would have a cough. So it would be allergy induced asthma, and then it would turn into bronchitis. And then 9 times out of 10 would turn into pneumonia. And so, whenever they would give me the Z-Pak to help, it not work. It would just weaken my immune system even more, because it was never really an infection. It was just all of these things. And then I would break ribs from coughing I can't even tell you how many ribs I've broken.
Wow.
And come to find out, it was a dairy allergy. That's the baseline of it. It's been a dairy allergy that has inflamed my entire internal system. I didn't have any outward signs of it.
Right.
My stomach hurt, and they said it was a hiatal hernia.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was all this stuff. But now that I have completely removed dairy out of my diet, I have not broken a rib. I have not had an asthma attack. I have no inhalers. And I do not get bronchitis twice a year or even once a year anymore.
That's amazing. And now I will say, because some listeners may be thinking, well, you did move to Texas versus living in Tennessee. And, you know, Tennessee is hard with the allergies. So do you feel like, did you solve that problem before you moved to Texas? Or do you feel like moving to Texas is not as bad as Tennessee?
Well, where we are in East Texas, we are the Piney Woods, and we have a lot of mold and just a lot of allergies in general.
So you do have a lot of stuff. Yeah,
we do. We have a lot of stuff. And then I can say that I've been dealing with this since I was a child.
Oh, when you lived in Texas.
When we lived in Texas. I didn't move to Tennessee till I was 26. Okay. So, and this is something I've dealt with as far back as I can remember. The first time I broke my ribs was when I was 14.
Wow. And, you know, going back to the dairy and the inflammation. So ever since I was pregnant with Serena, and that would be around 3 years ago, I got a sinus infection, and I didn't realize it because I didn't have the same symptoms as I wasn't having any runny nose or anything like that, but I kept getting a headache. And being pregnant, you really don't know if it's just being pregnant or whatever's going on with all your hormones. So I just thought I was having a headache every single day until eventually I went to the doctor and they said, you have a sinus infection. So after that, I've now gotten sinus infections, usually in the fall and usually in the spring. So when allergy season's happening, and mind you, I've lived here 10 years. So most people say, oh, give it 5 years and you'll start getting allergies. So I did go a lot longer, but I will say that I see an acupuncturist, and she will look up in my nose and she said, your nose, all the stuff inside is inflamed. And that's what's really causing your problem is the inflammation. And the same thing with the chiropractor. He would say you're dealing with inflammation, which can lead into the sinus infection. But sometimes the issue could be not bacterial, which then an antibiotic is not going to help you. And really, it's just going to mess up your gut even more, which all these things I'm having to slowly realize and peel the layers away. And it just, you know, it's a long process to have to figure all this stuff out. And I do know that if I'm consuming dairy around allergy season, that it's going to flare up really fast. Now, I don't tend to drink dairy or eat a lot of dairy to begin with, but I had to remove it from my coffee. So I had to switch to almond milk creamer and all that kind of stuff just to kind of get away from that. And so what I'm saying is I totally understand what you're saying. And that's very interesting with the babies and the colic that all this is kind of tying in together, which then leads me into how did you eventually figure that out with her that, okay, we need to remove dairy from her diet, that it wasn't like gluten or something else?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned sinus infections. She had her first sinus infection when she was 4 months old.
Oh,
and the pediatrician, yes.
Wow.
And the pediatrician at that point said, like, this is rare. Most infants don't have sinus infections, especially, you know, this young. So it turned out she did. She had one. And then I started noticing every time we went anywhere and were around the public at any place. So whether it was Sunday school or like our Wednesday night Bible studies, it never failed. Within 3 days, she got some kind of virus and sick. So she seemed to be sick all the time, to the point where people were like, gosh, your kids are always sick. I'm like, I know. I don't know what's going on. Well, then as she got a little bit older, she started having asthma attacks at about 11 p.m. So she would go outside and play for 30 minutes, come in, wake up at 11, and have a really, really hard time breathing. There was one point where we almost had to call 911 because she couldn't get her breath.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. And so all of that started kind of compounding, and it just started out slowly through the years. Then when she was about 3, she started getting an eczema patch right on her, just kind of right to the side of her chin.
Yeah.
Like, man, where did this eczema come from?
Yep.
So I started paying attention more to what we were eating, and then I started removing dairy, and then we switched to raw milk because I was told that, you know, most people with dairy allergies can handle raw milk because it's not, the bacteria is not killed off and the enzymes are all intact. So we started doing that.
And what is your thought on that in general?
As long as you find a good, safe source, I feel like raw milk can be really good.
Yeah.
However, she is like full blown allergic to dairy, like the casein, the whey.
Yeah.
The
so it's not going to matter if you have raw milk or not. Yeah.
It didn't, because the minute it touched her face, she started breaking out in hives all over. So it just kind of slowly progressed into like a really bad allergy. So now we are completely, and then I'll just kind of move forward quickly through the other children.
Yeah.
So the second one was born, and he had the same intestinal issues, the same, like, we need to give him milk of magnesia twice a day, those things.
Oh, wow.
But he never got the eczema. He got crazy bipolar type moods where you could say, okay, Stalin, it's time to go to bed. And he would lose it. And there was no like reasoning skills, no coping skills, just scream. I mean, it was, we would go to bed at night going, what is wrong? We removed dairy, and his temper and his bipolar and all those moods went away. It's
now, let me ask you, how long did that take though? Like for you to notice, how long, how many days or weeks or what was it? Or was it instantaneously? Because I mean, it does stay in your system, right? I feel like it stays in your system for a while. The milk or dairy.
It can stay. I think it's like up to 12 days.
But yes.
I can pretty much see quick results as far as the moods go like that, as long as you stop giving it. But it is like a snap of the finger at the way it reacted to him. I mean, he could have it at breakfast, and within an hour after breakfast, he's crazy. And I can't say, you know, crazy, but just where
I know
you're
what you
just
mean.
Like,
he's not your child. Goodness. Like he's acting completely different. You know, when you give kids sugar and they don't eat a lot of sugar, and then all of a sudden you kind of go, like at birthday parties, right? We'll even see this with our girls. They'll eat something and I'm just like, what has happened? Like, And Todd will say, oh, the sugar's kicking in. And I'm like, okay, we cannot give them this because it's high sugar, you know, whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand what you're saying.
And sometimes it's not always the sugar. It's the dyes in there.
Yes. I mean, all the stuff that's like, a combination of everything.
And Stellan also has an intolerance to sugar in general. He gets really weepy and almost kind of depressed when he has sugar. Like he'll cry over everything. So we are on a strict no sugar diet in this house.
I definitely want to go over that too, to have you tell us what you eat.
Because
I am curious, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably thinking, well, then what are you eating? But I know you wanted to go through your kids. So
yes. So I'll start with, now we'll go on to Clara.
Okay.
So Clara is, I would say the most challenging as far as finding out all the food allergies. It took me 2 years to figure out every single thing that she could not tolerate. So it started out with dairy. Her intolerance was even more so. It was like projectile reflux.
Wow.
Whenever, I mean, I could just have like a tablespoon of creamer in my coffee and then
it
was projectile.
Yeah.
And so the pediatrician at that point, finally, same pediatrician was like, oh, okay, yes. She has a dairy allergy. And then, he's like, well, I'm most likely if they have a dairy, they have a soy. Well, for parents that, formula feed.
Yeah. That's your option. Yeah. Yes.
So,
and do you have an option for that? Like, do you have a thought for those people out there that are in that situation? Or is there really, I mean, are they just kind of stuck?
I think you can try goat's milk.
That's what we had to do for Skyla, but she was closer to one. I mean, I don't know what you would do if they were 2 months, 3 months, and all that.
I think you almost have to make your own or maybe even special order. See, Audra and none of mine can even handle goat's milk, or they have like a sheep cheese and they can't handle sheep's cheese either.
Oh.
So we would have been completely out of options. I was very thankful and lucky that I was able to nurse.
Yes.
And, I did that for 26 months with Clara because, you know, you're supposed to feed them some sort of good fat for their brain development, especially up until they're two. It's very crucial.
Right.
So I just continued on nursing until.
Well, and so for her, that was the safest thing, honestly. I mean, because you knew what was going on because you knew what was going into your body. So, I mean, and honestly, I don't have issues with people nursing up till 2 years old and stuff like that. I think that when you have food allergies and you're trying to figure out how to give them the right nutrients, and if you can breastfeed, I think it's great. Obviously, that's not that doesn't work for everyone. But if you are already doing it, I say, why remove it when you have to be figuring out what are you going to bring into her diet once you drop that so that she's getting everything she needs? So,
yes.
Yeah, I can see why you did that.
I just wanted to touch. I mean, I know some parents out there are probably asking, you know, how do I know if it's an intolerance of any sort? And I knew, you know, after two children, when the third one came along, I knew what to watch for. The stools are different. They can be like a greenish color. They have a distinct kind of sour odor to them.
Oh.
When people say there's blood in the stools, I've had a friend that's had like a diaper that has just been nothing but blood.
Wow.
And then in my case with Jude, our youngest, it was just these tiny little bitty, almost strings of blood. And I knew exactly, because I was already dairy, soy, corn, and corn free and gluten. No, I was not gluten free. I was just dairy, soy, and corn free when Jude came along. So I immediately knew it was the gluten that caused his. And then it turned out to be all grains. And I kind of knew that anyway, because Clara, it turned out to be all grains as well.
Mm.
And that includes like brown rice.
Oh, yeah. Oats.
And yes, any kind of oats, just any kind of grain. And so so to answer anyone's question of what do you eat?
Yeah, that is the question.
All the time.
Yes. What is the give us a glimpse of what you guys eat in a day.
Okay. So for breakfast, I make 3 meals a day. And the way we do homeschool too, they attend the Becca Academy, which is a really awesome homeschool program. But I'm very fortunate that I stay home with them. So I cook all 3 meals. And the way we do is we do like a very high protein, good fat breakfast. then we'll eat a larger lunch and a very light dinner, because you do not need a lot of food to sleep. So you don't need a lot of energy to go to sleep.
Yes.
So our breakfast is, they are considered like a protein muffin. They're an AIP, which is autoimmune paleo.
And what does that mean exactly?
Autoimmune paleo is a diet designed. It's not a lifestyle change. It's just a diet that you can actually, there's studies out there that you can reverse and send into remission your autoimmune diseases.
Wow. So now are you guys trying to eat that? Because do you feel like you have autoimmune issues?
No, it just turned out that's what
works for you guys.
Yes. However, we've been able to add things back in slowly. That's the way it's designed. Basically, you strip it all down.
Interesting.
And then you add foods one at a time back in to see if you have a reaction to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
And it kind of sends your body back into this like, okay, now I'm calm. It calms it down. And so it's ready to take on things one at a time. And a lot of people are able to go to foods that they've never been able to eat because they were finally able to calm down their body.
That is interesting. Yeah.
I know. It's really, and when I found it, I stumbled upon it like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. My baby won't sleep. He still seems like he's in pain and I need answers. And it just, I don't even know how I found it, but I found this diet and I was like, wow, this is really great.
And where is that? Where can we send people to go look for the stuff that you're referring to?
I think I just Googled autoimmune paleo and I found a few sites.
And then do you find recipes on those sites and stuff?
Yes. And also I'll do a plug here for, it's www.real, R-E-A-L, plans.com. It's a meal planning site and you can even get like paleo meals. Then you can go in and even say, well, we can't have shellfish or we can't have beef or pork, and you can design exactly what you can and can't have and they'll find you recipes.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I was able to get like a month's worth of recipes. And then that, I stopped my subscription because I had the recipe.
You were set. Yeah. I love it. I love that. And do you know how much that is just for like a 1 month subscription off the top of your head?
It was about $9.99 a month. Yeah. And I think for the paleo menu, you add like an extra dollar and that was it.
Totally affordable. So, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's definitely worth it for the recipes I got. So I'll go back for breakfast. It's these AIP blueberry muffins and they contain, cassava flour, which is of the yucca root. It's completely grain and gluten and all that free. And then, coconut flour, coconut oil, coconut flakes, plantains, bananas, blueberries, and, you know, some baking powder and salt. So we make those muffins. They're very dense and very, you know, they have the good fats from the coconut and the protein as well. So it's
what's
really
the protein in that, in those ingredients that you just mentioned.
The protein, I believe, would be probably a little bit of the cassava flour. I know the coconut oil has a little bit in there. So it just helps sustain you.
Yeah, that's great.
And then we have lunch. So we'll eat chicken and two sides. Now, whether that's a handful of berries and a good vegetable, it kind of varies. We eat a lot of avocado in this house and a lot of sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah.
Yes. Well, sweet potatoes are actually the most nutritious vegetable out there. They contain a broad range of vitamins and minerals. So they are really good to eat. So when people ask, do you eat sweet potatoes every day? I'm like, pretty much we do because we get a good.
Yeah. It's like your multivitamin almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's loaded with B vitamins.
Yes.
Hence the color of it. So, and everyone needs B vitamins.
Yes, they do.
For dinner, we'll just have some vegetables, just a little bit of fruit. We don't do a whole lot of fruit, but we like to keep berries around.
Now, what will you do? What will you do when those are out of season, though? What will you probably give the kids?
I don't know if persimmons will be in season, but we really like persimmons around here. I will also get some pears and simmer them and some cinnamon. And just, I'll cook them down. I think it's orange juice and a little bit of cinnamon and you kind of cook them down and everyone loves those. I think those poached pears is what they're called.
Yeah.
But, and then we do a lot of pumpkin stuff. I can make an AIP paleo pumpkin pie that the kids love.
Wow.
I actually will cook an entire Thanksgiving meal for all of my family, and it falls within our diet completely.
That's amazing.
That yes, really and everyone amazing. Prefers it.
Wow.
Even those people that love their dairy and their, you know, canned green bean casserole, they prefer my green bean casserole over theirs.
That's really awesome. We may have to have you put this on the show notes for a recipe
yes.
for these, because with Thanksgiving coming up, and I can just see that some people are probably struggling. And, you know, it's emotional connection with holidays, and to feel like you can't eat certain things, it can be sad. And, you know, you want to feel like you can be part of it. So I think that would be great to have you write up some stuff, and then we'll put in the show notes so that if people are interested, they can look at it. And
yes.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty awesome. I do want to go back to the breakfast muffin. So how many do the kids tend to eat of those muffins?
They will eat about one.
Oh, sometimes they only need one?
Yeah, they only need one. We only eat two.
Oh, okay. So I see. Sure. Yeah.
Casey and I will eat two. And I mean, like I said, we are completely satisfied until lunch comes around. What's happening is your body actually, you know, the whole fad of low fat, no fat, get rid of your fat is not
good.
You don't need that. You actually need to get rid of your carbs and your grains and your sugars.
You need fat. Yes.
And so your fat is your energy. And when we first switched on this diet, my husband lost 20 pounds within 4 weeks.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
And he was just like, I didn't even know I had 20 pounds to lose.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't know that either. Casey.
I know. But he had just stripped down all of that extra stuff that was stored in different places that we didn't even know was there.
Exactly.
And he felt so good.
Oh,
but now
gosh, awesome.
He's put back on 20 pounds because he is working out. So he's
Working. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes.
And he's working out and he's building back up
his
muscle.
Bulking.
But he is. But he's still not eating grains or sugars or any of that.
So is he just eating more of the food that you make?
Yes.
Yeah. More quantity.
More quantity. A little. And there's paleo protein out there for people that want to work out and need a protein shake.
Yeah.
It's actually, you can get it at Whole Foods. It's called Paleo Pro.
Oh, cool.
And it's a good protein. I think it's from beef. And Casey really likes that. So,
That's
awesome. Options out there.
Yeah, there is. And I wanted to ask you really quick. So I know you guys don't snack, but did you have to kind of gradually do this? Because I'm sure your kids were used to snacking and eating a different way. I would imagine you probably didn't just flip that switch overnight, or maybe you did. I don't know. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how to do that gradually without upsetting everybody in the family?
Well, I think we actually, I mean, we did start out on all of this gradually where, you know, we started out going dairy free, soy free. And then when Clara was two, we realized she had a gluten allergy. So we cut out gluten and out of our diets. And then a few months later, we realized it was grain. So it was like a couple year process of cutting everything out. So when we switched over to AIP, you know, our snack might have been just a banana in the afternoon or a handful of berries or something of that sort. And when we just realized that we're not hungry, it just happened. Now I have a friend. She just messaged me yesterday and she's like, how do you not snack? I'm starving. But she also said she would eat her weight in pasta every week. So that's an addiction. That is your body going, oh my gosh, I'm in shock. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And so I told her, I'm like, you can snack. Just make sure it's not grains and pasta and sugar and things like that. Fill it with protein.
Right. I'm doing macro tracking, and I only speak quickly on this. The protein level that I need is crazy, and I would always eat carbs, and that's my weakness. And so trying to hit the protein, it's such a mind shift of going, okay, you need to eat this. If you are eating enough protein, it almost knocks out, like you don't even have room to kind of eat the other stuff. And so that's what I'm learning, that if I'm hitting the amount of macros, and for those of you who are wondering what macros are, it's the, you know, if you're tracking fat, protein, and carbs, and there's a percentage, which then breaks down to grams. And so if I'm eating the amount of grams of protein that I need to be eating, I really don't feel like I can eat a lot of stuff. But what I used to do was eat a lot of carbs. And I feel like the carbs that make you want to eat more carbs and more carbs, where the protein, if you're eating what you're supposed to, there's no cycle of being like, and I want more protein. I want more protein. You're kind of just like, I am good, you know?
Yeah. Like I'm satisfied. Yes. My body has the fuel it needs. Yes. Because carbs are just so, they're burned through and then they're stored, and it's a dangerous cycle, because that's something that Casey and I deal with. That is our addiction. And we realize that quickly, like,
yes,
whoa, sugar,
me
carbs,
too.
That's,
yep.
And it really is an addiction.
it is. And then, for those out there, listening, I mean, I feel like it's really hard right before you start your cycle too. So have you noticed that, you probably don't feel it as much anymore, probably because you eat so clean. But when you were transitioning and doing all that stuff and you were having the PMS and probably wanting to eat the cupcakes or the fatty things or the nachos or whatever people are craving, what did you end up doing for those moments so that you didn't completely blow your eating plan, but you're trying to tame all that stuff?
Well, considering that Jude is 15 months, I'm still nursing him. So this,
yes,
I've only had one cycle in the last like 2 years. And this, just last month. However, when it came time for, I call her Aunt Flo to come about.
Yep.
Sorry, Todd, or any of the men listening.
Todd lives with a house of three girls, so he's going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes.
So when it came time for that, I was thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not craving stuff. Like I'm not,
oh,
I was, I didn't,
yeah.
I
yeah.
did not crave chocolate and all of those things. But there's something called coconut crack bars. You can look them up. I think they're on Pinterest.
Okay.
But it is, the shredded coconut.
Yep.
A little bit of maple syrup. It's like one part maple syrup and one part coconut oil. You could add a pinch of Himalayan pink salt or any kind of sea salt. One thing to remember, whenever you get sea salt, you want to make sure it's colored. Like whether it's green, gray, pink, it doesn't matter. But that just means you're getting the full spectrum of minerals.
Oh, versus because white sea salt?
Yep. Or any kind of white salt. Because that means that's been bleached and it's been stripped.
Okay. Good to know.
So anyway, I just add a little pinch of sea salt in there, mix it up, put it in the refrigerator so that coconut oil kind of gets sets it. And then you have these coconut crack bars and they are really good. And so you're getting your good fats from that. The maple syrup is safe to eat because it's a natural sweetener. So you have maple syrup, honey. And I know that I had a friend ask about coconut palm sugar. It's not on the AIP, but it is on the paleo diet. So you can, but whenever you're first starting out, I do not recommend doing any kind of coconut palm sugar, just very limited maple or honey, just while you're adjusting and getting used to having no sugar.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. And I know that you've posted this before, I think on your Facebook page about agave. What is the issue with agave?
Yeah, agave, they try to say it has a lower glycemic index and it actually does not. It is actually, I'm trying to remember exactly how I worded it there, but it's pretty much a higher concentrate than high fructose corn syrup. It's really not good. It is actually not a natural sweetener. They have just marketed that way because they're really good at doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is really interesting. I think that would be very, very eye-opening to a lot of listeners to hear that. So we're almost at the end of the show. So I wanted to ask you one last question. For those moms out there that have a feeling that their child is suffering from a food sensitivity or intolerance, what piece of advice would you give them to start this journey without it being super overwhelming?
Start out one food at a time. I mean, that was the easiest thing we could have done. Where we suspected dairy, we removed dairy. And then, so we adjusted our lifestyle. And there are so many options out there when you're removing dairy. And I pretty much believe that dairy is the culprit for a lot of things. It can cause inflammation. It just things, because it can do things from the inside out that you're not really aware of and you may never be aware of. So if your joints hurt all the time, try to remove dairy out and see if that kind of reduces your inflammation.
So let me ask you. So both my girls have a slightly dairy intolerances, and they would get eczema, kind of like what you were saying. Skyla would get on the back of her knees, and Serena would get a little patch on her cheek. And so I knew that because I figured it out with Skyla. So let's say that someone has eczema, or someone's having a hard time, the child's having a hard time going to the bathroom, and you remove dairy. How long would you probably have to give it to kind of know that it's dairy before going on to the next thing?
I would give it, you know, up to about 12 days.
Okay.
I saw it pretty quickly.
Sure.
I could see, you know, Jude had cradle cap, and, you know, we'd already removed all those allergies, but he would still get a little bit of cradle cap, and cradle cap is tied into the eczema family and to a intolerance family. So when we removed nuts out of my diet, his cradle cap went away. But the minute I eat almond butter or any kind of nuts again, then within a few days, that cradle cap shows back up.
Wow.
When I remove it, it goes away.
Oh my goodness.
So it's a pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now eczema is a little bit harder to get rid of.
Yes.
But you will notice it'll reduce in redness and inflammation.
Yes, it will.
As you mm-hmm. remove the stuff.
Yes. That's so right. Now, and would you say dairy is the first one to start with?
I would say dairy and then gluten are the top two culprits.
And same thing with gluten. Would you kind of give it like 2 weeks?
Yes. I mean, you could see pretty quickly. And then you can also do the test of introducing it back in. And then if you notice, that's when we really started noticing that it was it. Like, we would remove it and we would see the changes. But when we would give it back to them, we were like, whoa, what happened to our kids? Like, something is going on. And then we're like, oh, yeah, they had this. And we could see it pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I mean, just to be able to see that so quickly. So,
and don't worry. I'm sorry. I just want to add this. I know it's overwhelming, and I know people are going to think you're crazy because they all think I'm crazy. But don't let that deter you at all. Just, you know what's best for your kids.
Yes, I agree.
Listen to your gut. And, you know, above all else, I just pray for the Lord's discernment in everything that we do. And as long as I have peace over it, then I don't care what anyone else thinks.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, you're looking out for your family and you want them to feel the best. So if you feel like removing that stuff is what will happen by removing that they will feel great, then you do have to go with your gut, because no one else is having to raise your children and to be there when they're suffering. So I completely agree. And Donnie, we're at the end of this podcast, but I do want to say, where can listeners find you at on social media, if you want to give that out?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. You can friend me at, you can find me Donnie Rivers, DoniRivers. And then also you can find my group page where I share recipes and different kinds of other things for lifestyle, whether it's how to read your product labels for cleaner products. I'm involved at my own business with Pure Haven Essentials. So you can find me at Pure Haven. Oh, no, I think it's Non-Toxic with Donnie Rivers, but I would just say friend me at Donnie Rivers, find me on Facebook. And then my website is www.donnienontoxic.com. That's my product website where you can find for safe shampoos and facial products, makeup, baby products, kids, all just even home cleaning products. We have a broad spectrum of things for everyone.
Awesome. I mean, yeah, that sounds really great. And again, for those of you guys listening, her name is Donnie, D-O-N as in Nancy, I, Rivers. So yeah, check her out. And Donnie, it was so awesome to have you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so good to catch up, and I'm really excited about this. This was fun.
Thank you. And there you have it. Thank you for listening to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg. If you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share this with your friends and mom groups. That way we can help more moms. To do that, send them to our website at mominspiredshow.com, where they can find and listen to the episodes. Thanks, guys. See you next week.